Hey everybody, it's the Matt Man. Now, I know this is not the way we normally start our show, but I wanted to just say a few things because the Striper extended family lost somebody a few days ago, and as I record this, it's kind of hard to get it out of my head. But sadly, on April 5th, we lost an amazing voice, and according to so many people, a better human being. CJ Snare was the voice of Firehouse from their very beginnings back in North Carolina to their debut album in 1990, all the way to now. And our very own Perry Richardson was with Firehouse up until 2000. So that's a long time to be together. So this hits pretty close to home for a lot of us. I never saw Firehouse in the Perry Richardson years, but I saw them twice in the last 3 years, and they were absolutely amazing. CJ was one of the few singers who was able to maintain that amazing voice that he had back in the day. And this is a tough one, especially when you listen to the music. It's really hard for his family, I know, and his bandmates, past and present, and the millions of fans worldwide. So right now, I'm going to do something kind of weird and a little out of the ordinary, and I just want to pray right now if that's okay. So Heavenly Father, we just ask you to be with CJ's family, with his family and friends and all the people that loved and cared about him, his bandmates, fans all over the world. We ask you, Lord, for peace, for compassion, for understanding, for clarity in such a confusing time for so many people when people are always asking why. We just ask you, Lord, that we can be a blessing and keep CJ's family and Perry and his family in our prayers as well as we try to navigate something that we don't normally like dealing with. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for indulging me with that. Now, before we get the show started properly, I just want to play a song that features CJ, Perry Richardson on bass, Bill Leverty on guitar, and Michael Foster on drums. From their album Good Acoustics, this is Firehouse, and I Live My Life For You.
I see forever when I look in your eyes. All I've ever wanted, I always want you to be mine. Let's make a promise to the end of time. We'll always be together, and our love will never die. So here we are, face to face, and heart to heart. I want you to know.
y'all. This is Perry Richardson.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Sweet.
Hi, this is Oz Fox.
Hey, audience, everybody listening. This is the Visual Timekeeper, Robert Sweet.
And you are listening to 53.5, the official Striper podcast.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're getting a chance to listen. Thank you for joining me on another episode of 53.5, the official Striper podcast. I'm your host, the Matman, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Monarch Studios in Western Massachusetts. Getting really excited to bring you yet another awesome show, and this show is going to be very special. Again, celebrating 40 years of Striper. If you're a Patreon member, you are listening to this episode early. Thank you so much for supporting the band. For more information, you can go to patreon.com/Striper. You can find out the three levels of support and whatever one you can do. Get a lot of cool opportunities. You get a lot of virtual meet and greets, and that's a really cool thing to think about. So I don't know if everybody else knows this in the world, but in the New England area and New York and New Jersey, we had an earthquake on April 4th. It was a 4.8 on the Richter scale, which I'm not an earthquake guy, so I don't know. I was working in Connecticut, and I didn't feel it, but my wife and my daughters did. A bunch of friends also felt it. We are newbies when it comes to getting earthquakes on the East Coast, so we don't have a lot to worry about like they do, but man, it was a little bit of a scary thing, and it kind of put people in a little bit of an awkward situation, especially with the eclipse coming. People started to get a little creepy and crazy. Now, I am looking forward to the eclipse because I am enjoying the fact that people are acting goofy and crazy, and that there's going to be a million people outside with glasses on looking up at the sun. I mean, make sure they're the right glasses because you're going to do some damage. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to something that hasn't happened in 50 years, I think. So whatever people are looking at, like it's Jesus coming back to Earth or whatever it is, you know what it is? It's the moon passing in front of the sun for the first time in 50-something years. Enjoy it for what it is. Get a beautiful view. Check it out. Be part of nature. Be part of the world. And this is a special show, as I mentioned earlier, because joining me is Rich Kosak, the star child from the band Mr. Speed. Mr. Speed does an amazing Kiss show, possibly the best that I have ever heard and seen. Rich and I touched base a week prior because when he posted a picture on Facebook of him with his latest vinyl conquest, which was a Japanese copy of Soldiers Under Command, as we start to celebrate Striper's 40th anniversary, I keep having to mention that, we are going to be celebrating with musicians and friends who were influenced by the band. As you know so well, the show is virtually everywhere. It's so exciting. Much like my other show, The Radio Eclectic, it amazes me that as long as I've been doing 53.5, I still get hundreds of comments after each show, and lately a lot of new people are coming on board, so please, please spread the word. I'm also on TikTok. You can check me out at Matman09, and every 3 or 4 days, I put a top five up, whatever it is. Top five Blue Oyster Cult albums, top five Iron Maiden albums, whatever it is, I'm going to be doing it. It's a lot of fun. I have fun doing this, and I'm also seeing a new audience coming into both this podcast and the Radio Eclectic. So definitely check it out. And if you've already watched, thank you so much for watching me act silly. And if you hear meowing in the background, that's my cat Wolfie wondering who I'm talking to since I'm not talking to him. Now, as I record this show today, the March show is at number 5 on the Podomatic rock charts. And I have an ask of you. Please think about this. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, wherever you do, subscribe to the show. Now, even if you don't get your shows on these other platforms, subscribe, because the more you subscribe, the more people are going to notice that Striper is pretty active and they have a new album coming out. We got to do everything we possibly can. Send the message, get the ratings up there, and let's push the band with all the cool stuff that's coming up, including tour dates. But first, I have to mention my friend and a friend of the band, Dirk McClure, who recently was on an episode of Iridium Rock and Metal Reviews. You can find that on YouTube, Iridium is how you spell it, where Dirk tells the tale of two albums, Striper's Reborn and Michael Sweet's Reborn Again. It is so much fun to hear and see Dirk being so passionate about Striper and not sitting in my car doing it, but everybody else is out there seeing this. It's awesome. Now, to hell with the amps is the band's acoustic tour that begins on May 31st in Woodstock, Georgia. But before that show, we've got two live shows, and we're looking at them right now. On April 25th at the House of Blues Orlando in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. On April 27th, they're going to be in San Juan, Puerto Rico at the Coca-Cola Music Hall. I have so many friends that live in Puerto Rico that have been reaching out to me, counting down the days, so excited about this show. On May 5th, they're going to be at the M3 Rock Festival in Columbia, Maryland. That show has got a lot of cool things going on. And then May 30th, it all starts. Woodstock, Georgia, To Hell With the Amps acoustic tour at MadLife Stage and Studios. On May 31st, To Hell With the Amps tour continues at Amos South End in Charlotte, North Carolina. On June 1st, at the Orange Peel in Ashleyville, North Carolina. On June 3rd, Phantom Power in Millersville, Pennsylvania. On June 4th, we've got the City Winery in Philadelphia, PA. On June 6th, the Narrows Center for the Arts in Fall River, Massachusetts. I will be at that show. I'm going to assume I'm going to be helping out with meet and greets and doing some stuff. So if you're going to be at that show, please, please, please look for me. On June 7th, at the Tupelo Music Hall in Derry, New Hampshire. I might be at that one too. So once again, I'm going to be helping out. If you see me, please, please, please come say hi. On June 8th at the Town Ballroom in Buffalo, New York. On June 10th at the Rome Capitol Theater in Rome, New York. I think the last time they played at the Rome Capitol Theater, they played with my good friend Jimmy Bell in Autograph. On June 11th at the Coho's Music Hall in Coho's, New York. On June 14th at the Diesel Concert Lounge in Chesterfield, Michigan. On June 15th, JD Legends in Franklin, Ohio. On June 16th, The Vogue in Indianapolis, Indiana. On June 18th, the Mercury Ballroom in Louisville, Kentucky. On June 20th, the Warner Vineyards in Paw Paw, Michigan. I want to go to that place. Paw Paw. I've never heard of Paw Paw. I really want to go there now. I want to get a t-shirt that says Paw Paw, Michigan. The Hobart Art Theater in Hobart, Indiana. On June 22nd at the Dannenberg Family Vineyards in New Berlin, Illinois. On June 23rd, Liberty Hall at the Factory in Franklin, Tennessee. And June 23rd is the last show of the To Hell With the Amps acoustic tour. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm willing to bet there's going to be some shows that are added in between the little slots of spaces in between the days. And if you know a venue that would love to have Striper there, you can reach out to BTE Incorporated, that's Big Time Entertainment. You can reach out to Sullivan at Sullivan@BigTimeInc.com or Chris at BigTimeInc.com. You go to BigTimeInc.com or you can go to the website and click on to contacts and scroll down. But always, please check out the band's official website and go to the tour page. Keep checking back. I cannot stress this enough. If it isn't listed here, it isn't an official show. Last year, I had a few Striper friends who really got screwed buying tickets for a show. It wasn't a Striper show, but it wasn't an official show of this particular artist or artists. And when the show never happened, they lost their money. Don't be that McJohnson, folks. Don't get taken advantage of. So if it's not on the website, it doesn't exist. Now, again, we celebrate 40 years of Striper. Let's go back, not too long ago, to Even the Devil Believes, released in 2020 on Frontiers. The album is chock full of awesome music, but this one was always a favorite of mine because it really captures that mid-80s sound. Some people may call this one a little bit quirky, but for me, it fits right in perfectly with the songs from In God We Trust. So for our first musical break, this is Invitation Only. And welcome back to the show. For the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be spending some time with Rich Kosak from the band Mr. Speed. Mr. Speed is one of the most amazing Kiss tribute bands you are ever going to see and hear. And Rich is an incredible dude that, as we discovered as we spoke, were two peas in a heavy metal Star Wars hockey pod. You wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest band in the world, Mr. Speed.
Mr. Speed, a night of Kiss. 30 years in the making. Three decades of anthem, celebrating all things Kiss. A show that has it all, the sound and the fury, the fire and the thunder, creating an experience that leaves you wanting more. If you want to get kissed, there's only one Kiss tribute that's going to do it the way you want it. Mr. Speed. You never forget your first kiss. And you'll never forget Mr. Speed. Don't miss Mr. Speed, a night of Kiss.
You're a Striper fan, a Kiss fan, and you're from Pittsburgh, so I'm going to assume right off the bat a Penguins fan as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when you have those three, what is stopping us from being best friends forever? I mean, this to me is a trifecta right here. Striper, Kiss, and the Penguins.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think we should do some karate in the garage. I really do. Just because if you throw Star Wars in there too, then, you know, it's sealed for sure.
I am a diehard Star Wars fan, so here we go.
All right.
Before we talk about Mr. Speed, tell us about how you became a Striper fan. What was it that kind of got the ball rolling?
You know, the first thing that I ever saw, I used to go to a little record shop in my hometown. I grew up in a real small suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, called Avalon. And there was a record shop that I would go to almost daily. And I saw a copy of Rolling Stone magazine, which I am not a fan of. And there was a photo of Robert on his drum stool, and the back of it said, Jesus Christ Rocks. And I distinctly remember seeing that photograph, and I thought, what is that all about? Because at that point in my life, I was kind of going through a, do I want to be, am I really going to jump into this Christian thing? I was at a crossroads in my own personal life and my journey. Things really weren't going any one way very well, so I saw that and I thought, no, that looks interesting. I'm going to look into that. But it wasn't until I relocated to Phoenix in 1985, it was the fall of 1985, to try and get a job with America West Airlines at the time. And I had a 6-mile bike ride from the home I was living in with my older brother to my job on the campus of Arizona State University. And there was a little record shop that I stopped into, and I saw the cassette for Soldiers, and I bought it. And that was the start of my Striper fanaticism, if you will.
They definitely are a band, much like Kiss, that create that and cultivate that kind of fanaticism that is, it just has kept these bands going for so, so long. And thinking about that, when's the first chance that you got to see Striper live?
Well, fortunately for me, when I was living in Phoenix, they did some dates for the Soldiers album, and they came to a really small indoor soccer arena. And I struggled to try and remember who the opening act was. I want to say it was somebody like XYZ or something, because I know I saw Hurricane open for them on the To Hell with the Devil tour. That was the first time I saw them. It was December 11th, 1985.
And what did you think back then? Because I saw them on the Soldiers tour the first time, and I saw them with Hurricane and was blown away. So I'm imagining it was the same thing for you.
Yeah, you know, I went with a friend of my brother's, and we sat way in the back. I mean, we had awful seats. And I really have no vivid memories of the show. I can remember in my mind's eye being in the arena and seeing the band on stage, but I wish I had something that I could really say, you know, I remember this from that night when I first saw Striper. But there's nothing, because I was so far away from the action on stage, that I really don't have a vivid memory of the show. I do remember being there.
Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Speed. I was watching your performance on YouTube from the Lamp Theater. Holy crap. I mean, I was impressed with everything, the production, the set list, the performance. Everything was so spot on. I thought I was watching a video of Kiss, like on their Kiss Cruise, where they're playing on a much smaller stage. You guys have it down pat, so of course I have to ask you, how long have you guys been together?
Well, the current version of the band has been together since January, and that's the truth. We have a brand new bass player named Shane Smith from Tampa, Florida, and Shane and I met about 5 years ago via social media. He was trying to put together his own tribute down in Florida, and he would reach out to me and ask me questions because he had a lot of respect for what I was doing with Mr. Speed. But it wasn't until this past fall, when our previous bass player needed to move on for a multitude of reasons, all of which were good for him, and Shane just, the opportunity presented itself. So it's really amazing, Matt, to be able to do what we do, but it's taken 30 years to get to the point that we're at right now, because I've never had anyone financially backing the band. This has all been out of pocket. Creating the costuming, the staging, you have to surround yourself with people that believe in the same thing that you do, want to play on a team together, you know, aren't egoed out on themselves and causing problems. And when you find people like that, it's very rare, and you want to hold on to it. And fortunately, right now, in the last 3 years, it's been really, really good within the context of the band with the different members that I've had. We've had a few changes, but the version of the band right now in 2024, in my humble opinion, is the best I've ever had.
What is it about Kiss that made you say, that's what I want to do? Because there could have been any band. You could have been a Doobie Brothers cover band. You could have been a B-52s cover band. What is it about Kiss that made you want
to
do that?
Well, to be honest with you, when the idea started, it was just myself and the original Ace Frehley. We had become friends by meeting at a record show in Pittsburgh on a Sunday afternoon. And we started playing guitar together. He was a much better player than I was. And so I learned an awful lot from him about how to listen to the Kiss music and what to listen for in order to construct the songs. And after about 6 months, you know, we said, hey, this sounds pretty good with just the two of us. So what do you think about getting a bass player and a drummer? And originally, Matt, the concept for Mr. Speed, if you want to call it a concept, was just for this guy and I to record Kiss songs onto a cassette tape. It was never meant to be a band. And here I am 30 years later talking to you about this Kiss tribute band that I've had for so long. Kiss was a band that really gave me a focus. You know, I was never a stereotypical teenager. I didn't go to parties. I wasn't drinking. I've never done drugs in my life. Kiss was always the reason to stay home, listen to the records, look at the posters on my walls. And believe me, I covered every single inch from floor to ceiling and including the ceiling with Kiss posters. So I think for me, it was a natural progression, even though my mom and dad, through my teenage years, probably wished I had become a doctor.
Now, with Kiss calling it a day recently, are you seeing the chance for more bookings to fill that gap? Because Kiss fans like me, we're ravenous. We need the makeup. We need the spectacle in our lives. Do you see the opportunity maybe to kind of jump in and fill that void?
You know, in all honesty, I haven't seen that influx of opportunities. It's been just like it is every other year, you know, because the buyers of live entertainment, they're very finicky. You know, people are coming out of the woodwork and saying, oh my God, you know, Kiss is done. Let's get a Kiss tribute band. It's still biting and scratching and having to prove ourselves and, you know, put our best foot forward to every single buyer that reaches out to us. And I work with a number of different subcontracting agents, if you will, who find work for the band, because over 30 years, I've put myself in a position that where I don't have to actively seek the work out like I used to. It's good and it's bad because I haven't seen that increase in demand simply because, you know, Kiss is no longer performing live.
We're going to change all that. Don't worry about it. We're going to get you guys out there. A few weeks back, I interviewed Desmond Child. He's really well known as a songwriter, obviously wrote a lot of Bon Jovi, but really worked with Kiss on some of my favorite Kiss songs, including I Was Made for Loving You, the song that we're going to play this segment out to. Now, this is a song, if you know the history, I know, Rich, and I know the history, but it's a song that was not very well received by Kiss fans way back when it first came out, but people have really come around to it. And what do you think it is about the song that makes it so magical?
I think for this Kiss fan, speaking about myself, it's time traveling. You know, I get to go back in time because that was the first time I ever saw Kiss live was in 79 on the Dynasty Tour, which that song is off the Dynasty album. So for me, that's where the magic happened. I was able to see them perform that live in 1979. And I know that when we perform the song live, it really does just sweep people off of their feet. The women love it. The guys dig the beat of the song. You can see everybody in the crowd singing along with us, having a good time. And it's really kind of funny, Matt, because there's something about that saying, keep it simple, stupid, that really works. And I'll reference the song New York Groove, too, because when we play that song, that's another one that just people just go crazy about. And it's one of the easiest songs that we play in our live show. So for me, it's making the connection to when I first saw Kiss live in concert. And I think a lot of the fans out there do the same thing. You know, it also, I didn't get really upset with Kiss when they released Dynasty and went to the different colors, the individual colors that they wore, the blue, green, purple, and red. For me, it was simply Kiss, and I couldn't get enough of it.
We're going to talk in the next segment about my favorite Kiss album, which falls into that interesting time in Kiss's career. But right now, folks, enjoy the music. This is Mr. Speed performing I Was Made for Loving You.
Thank you.
And as promised, some yellow and black chat with Rich Kosak. How are you, Rich?
I'm good, Matt. I'm good. Couldn't be better.
Thank you for joining us again. We're obviously here to talk about the yellow and black. And for me, and for you, that means the Pittsburgh Penguins. So who was your favorite Pittsburgh Penguin growing up?
Without question, it's Mario Lemieux. I was fortunate enough to be part of the season ticket package for 4 years in the late 80s, early 90s. The first two cup runs, I saw Mario play. I was at Mario's first game when he was in a fight against the Vancouver Canucks. So my favorite Penguin of all time is Mario Lemieux, without a doubt.
My favorite Penguin of all time is Mario Lemieux. Bing, 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 bing. My first Penguin hero was Pierre LaRouche, because I go back to the late 70s. But when Mario came in, that made me love hockey even more.
Well, you have to take into consideration what this guy went through. You know, his physical health, you know, having the Hutchkins, and he was so sick, and he was carrying this team, and they built that team around him. He went to a city that was in the dumps, brought it up to what it is today, which is a revered NHL franchise.
I reached out to you because I saw you posting a picture. You picked up a vinyl copy of, I believe it was Soldiers Under Command. And what is it about that album that makes it so magical for you? And when you picked it up, did you just get destroyed with awesome memories?
Yeah, for me, that was the first Striper album that I ever had. And the copy that I bought recently was a copy of the Soldiers from Japan. So, you know, it has the OBI strip on it, and it came with two color pinups of the band. And, you know, for me, there's just a lot of special memories because it was my first Striper album, my first Striper tour. Hearing the songs on that record, you know, it's time traveling. I can't say that enough. And you have this emotional connection to your heart to the albums that you grew up on and you cut your teeth on with your favorite bands. I can cite it, you know, with most of my favorite bands. It's the first 3-4 records from the band that are my wheelhouse. So that was why I just wanted to have a copy of it. I'm going to search out actively the rest of my favorite Striper albums and get the Japanese copies as well.
Now, we talked earlier about you seeing Striper live back in 1985. Now, you've seen them since then. What are your thoughts of how this band has progressed musically from then to now?
Well, I think they've gotten better with age. I think, you know, I saw them a year ago May at a local casino here in Cleveland. And, you know, I was front row center, right underneath Michael's microphone. You know, I made a lot of eye contact with the band. Play so well. They sing so well. And it was always really about just the dual guitar attack and the rhythm section holding things down. My favorite music from the band is the music that I grew up with. I do really believe that seeing the band a year ago and being that close, feeling the emotion, feeling the energy from the stage, and seeing the guys enjoying what they're doing, they're certainly still on top of their game. And I suggest them to a lot of my friends who aren't even really Striper fans that they should really give them a fair shake. And I think they'd be pleasantly surprised at how great the band is.
You talked about you seeing them live and being up close. Have you ever gotten to chat with the guys?
I have. I've purchased, I think, 4 or 5 of the meet and greets over the years. But it's never really been anything more than just, hey, you know, my name's Rich. Would you sign this for me? Blah, blah, blah. Never really have had a full-on conversation with anyone in the band. Aside from my experience, again, a year ago, May, when I purchased a live photo of Robert off of a photographer in Europe, and I had it sent to me in time for the show, and I took it, and through Lisa Sweet and John Stenslin, one of their crew, I was able to meet Robert after the show. And when he saw the photograph, he actually asked if he could take a photo of it, and he put it on his social media page because he really thought it was a powerful photograph of himself. And he signed it for me. We took some photos, and it was a really, really great moment between he and I. And it's really what endears me to Robert.
As the star child and Mr. Speed, what do you think the similarities are between Striper and Kiss? Because you obviously know Robert is a diehard Kiss fan, so you're going to hear a little bit of that. But as far as the music, do you see and hear some similarities?
Yeah, I do. I think that really Michael and Oz took the guitar into like a different realm because they came out in the mid-80s. You know, when guitar playing had kind of shifted from the more blues-based rock into a more shredding style, playing a lot of notes, thinking that speed was the way to go. I've always been a melody guy, but I do think that there are similarities. And when you listen to their version of Shout It Out Loud off the covering, you can see the parallels between what Michael and Oz did and what Paul and Ace did, say, around 1976. So I do think that there's a lot of similarities in that. Obviously, Gene is a much better bass player than people give him credit for. And Peter, you know, he takes a lot of flack for not being as good of a drummer or technically proficient of a drummer, whereas I think Robert is seen as somebody who is more so. Yeah, Matt, I mean, a lot of similarities between them. And thank God that Robert is such a big Kiss fan, because his love of what Kiss did live and with their costuming and whatnot is what I believe was the catalyst for the yellow and black outfits.
If I had to put you on the spot, what are your five favorite Striper songs?
Wow. Okay, let me rewind here. I'm going to go back to the very first song that ever caught my attention by them, and that's You Know What to Do. Then there's Calling on You. There's Holding On. I'm going to throw Lady in from Against the Law, because I always loved that song. It was just different. You know, it was just they went down a different alley with that one. And I'm also going to throw this one in there, The World of You and I, really off of In God We Trust. I really like that song a lot, too. Something about it.
So this is going to be where you and I are just going to be figuring out what happened to our lives and where do we miss this connection or something. My two favorite Striper songs are In the World of You and I and Calling on You, flip-flopped.
That's funny.
So
funny but awesome.
Now, this is going to be the other one. I doubt we're going to be crossing on this one. And if we did, then all bets are off. What's your favorite Kiss song of all time?
I'm going to go with Shout It Out Loud, because it was the very first Kiss song I ever heard in its entirety. I mean, I heard Rock and Roll All Night live on the radio as a young boy. But when I heard Shout It Out Loud for the first time, that song just really got into my veins. And then after that, it was Detroit Rock City. And Destroyer is my favorite Kiss album of all time. So that's what my answer is going to be for that. Shout It Out Loud.
So my favorite Kiss song of all time, and I get beat up for this all the time, Shandy.
Hey, man, I'm not even going to throw a punch your way. I'll defend you. That's a great song. It's a great song. We play that one live, as a matter of fact.
Oh, and my favorite Kiss album of all time, Unmasked. Absolutely love that album.
Yeah, that makes you unique. That really makes you unique, but I'm not mad at you about it. You know, if you had said maybe even The Elder would be a stretch, but see, I love The Elder. What it was at the time and some of the songs on there, it's a shame that they never gave The Oath and I the live credit that they deserved and still played them through, you know, the end of their career live.
Are you going to be able to see Striper on their acoustic tour, To Hell with the Amps?
I don't think that I am. I know they're playing a venue in Franklin, Ohio, that actually Mr. Speed has played at for quite a while. We don't play there any longer. It's called JD Legends. That's the closest I think that they're getting to me. And that's about 3 hours away. So I'm not going to be able to make that show. So I hope that they add some dates and maybe get a little bit closer to the Cleveland area, because I would love to see it. That would be awesome for me to see.
In case you didn't know this, following the acoustic tour, they're going to plug everything in and hit the road for a full-on live rockin' show.
Awesome, awesome. Hopefully that will bring them back to Cleveland too. But I mean, anywhere within like 2 hours, if I can go to Pittsburgh and see them, that's always great. You know, it doesn't really matter, Toledo. But yeah, let's hope that they get back into the Cleveland market for that tour.
So where can people find out more about you and Mr. Speed?
Well, we believe it or not, Matt, we have an official website.
Woo!
We're a band that really goes old school. We don't just do social media. We have a website. It's www.MrSpeedOnline.com. And you can find out history of the band. You can find out tour dates. We have a store page on there where you can go and order things that we don't even take to our live shows for you to buy at our merch stand. So, and then all, of course, once you get there, there's all the buttons for all of the social media platforms that we've got as well.
And I can't recommend this band enough, because being a diehard Kiss fan and needing the show, needing the excitement, needing the music, needing the songs, you guys hit it all perfectly. And speaking of hitting it all perfectly, We're going to end this segment with your favorite Striper song. So what are we leaving with?
We are leaving with Calling on You.
Absolutely brilliant. So, Rich, thank you so much for joining us. Continued success, and hope to see you on the road soon.
Matt, I can't thank you enough. On behalf of everybody associated with Mr. Speed, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this.
Well, that's it for this episode of 53.5, the official Striper podcast. Don't forget, this show and my other show, The Radio Eclectic, are available wherever you get your podcasts. So please subscribe to both. If you're on TikTok, follow me at MattMan09. Now, friends, you can friend me on Facebook at MattMan in parentheses. You can friend me on Facebook at MattMan in parentheses, Herring, and follow all my book stuff and overall crazy, silly things. For the next show, I'm going to try something new. It's something I'm calling Striper Radio, and it sounds just like you may think. It's me playing DJ for an hour, playing Striper music. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm the Mat Man. Have yourself a good one. Till we rock again soon.